Welcome to the SearchStorageChannel.com Channel Expert Podcast. This is Sue Troy, site editor for SearchStorageChannel.com. This two-part podcast series is on implementing a modern backup strategy. Joining me is Curtis Preston, backup expert and executive editor for TechTarget Storage Media Group. Thanks for joining me, Curtis.
Glad to be here.
In the second part of this podcast series, we'll be discussing backup testing and verification strategies that can help solution providers ensure the integrity and availability of client backups. So, Curtis, when customers don't do backup testing, what kinds of things happen?
Well, it's more like what kinds of things don't happen, and that's backups. I got bit with this early in my career where I assumed that because backups were working, that means that restores would work. And the thing is, as we say in this world, backups are one thing, restores are everything. So what happens is if they don't do backup testing, they, you know, at a minimum, there are things that they're not, there are lessons that they're not going to learn until the wrong time, right? Things that they needed to include, instructions that were necessary, those sorts of things. If you're not doing regular backup testing, you simply aren't familiar with how the process is going to work and the, you know, when you're restoring. And then the second is you're going to be surprised, you know, just statistically speaking, you're also going to be surprised with failed restores because there are things, again, that you're going to learn about things that are being missed or, you know, that sort of thing that you're simply not going to know unless you're doing restore testing.
Is there any data on, like, what percent of restores just totally fail?
The numbers that I've seen out there are really, really bad. It's beyond 50% of production restores that fail.
Wow.
Which is just not a good number at all.
That's scary.
Yeah.
Okay. How often do customers that do it right test their backups?
Well, at a minimum, I would say at least once a year you need to do a major test where you're testing restores of major applications, and hopefully you're doing a disaster recovery test where you're doing restores at an alternate location with alternate gear and alternate people. That's sort of the bare minimum, and oddly enough, many people don't. I would suggest that people actually automate restore testing. Get somebody who's good at scripting and do restore testing. Do it once a day. You can actually restore some files, just once a day, just to make sure that your system functions. Just restore a file once a day. Restore a large file system once a month. Your people should be familiar with doing restores and familiar with how long restores take and the process. And the only way you're going to do that is do restores on a regular basis. I am lucky that the company that I worked at when I first started my career, we did about 10 restores a day. We were a very large bank, something like 10,000 employees. Any user could call up and ask for a restore of any file anytime. And so we did restores all the time. And I know for a fact that we made changes along the way of our backups because of things that we learned when we did those restores. So at a minimum once a year, I'd say at least once a month is a good thing. Once a week would be better. And I actually would like to automate daily testing. Mm-hmm. That doesn't hurt anybody. It just runs, right? Mm-hmm. And it's not like you're going to you do an alternate restore where you restore the file to another location, so you're not overriding the production data.
Mm-hmm. So the businesses where it's sort of a natural part of the business function to have those restores required kind of have it easier, ironically,
right.
In that
right.
they get to test it out
right.
naturally. Okay, and what types of things are you testing for when you test restores?
Well, I mean, the biggest thing is you're testing for you're just testing the process, right? Somebody says, I need a file. Well, there's a person, generally speaking, sitting at a keyboard who gets that request. Well, what do they do? You know, what's the process that they go through? Do they have to notify somebody that they're going to do restore? Can they do the restore themselves? Like, in the case at the bank that I had, we had a help desk. They didn't do the restore. All they would do is issue a restore request, and then that restore request would be a help desk ticket that would go to, you know, the restore guy, right? Mm. And then he would do something, and that would initiate the actual restore process, which then the next part of the process comes in with, okay, that's going to ask for a tape. Back in those days, it was absolutely a tape. Now it could be a disc or something else. And then what happens, right? So depending on how you do your offsite tape management, some people do the, in my opinion, incredibly ill-advised thing of sending their backups offsite immediately, sending the only copy of their backups offsite immediately. And so if you do restores on a regular basis, what you'll find on a regular basis is what has to happen to make that restore happen. So do we have to call Iron Mountain and have them bring a tape back on a very regular basis? If that's the case, then I would suggest that you're doing something wrong with that process. And then the next thing that we're looking for is just things like performance and verification that the restore actually worked. How long does it take to restore a file system of a certain size or a database of a certain size, right? Mm-hmm. And so that when you have, I would suggest that you have a test system of each major database type, Oracle, Exchange, SQL Server, et cetera, and that you do regular test restores of a production system to that test system. And so you'll have an idea that when somebody calls and it's the monster database, you know, the one that you're scared to death to restore, and you never do test restores because you don't have 5 terabytes of disk sitting around. But at least you'll know that, hey, you know, last month when we did a test of the 500 gigabyte database that we do on a regular basis, it ran this fast. And so by extrapolation, we can say, okay, we'll give you some reasonable expectation. It took us 3 hours to do that one, so it's going to take us a day and a half to do yours. And you can tell them that up front and set an expectation because you've got that knowledge from testing. And that's a lot better than sitting there for 18 hours wondering how long it's going to take.
Mm-hmm. And that sort of leads to the next question, which is, in testing a really big database, is there any way to really do it other than kind of extrapolating the time on a smaller database?
Well, you know, I think it's something of a matter of, it's an environment thing, it's a culture thing. If you can get across to the powers that be that restore testing is important, then what you can do is you can make it a part of your process of installing new systems, that you use a new system that's been installed, and before it goes production, you use that new system to test the restore of an older system that's of a smaller size, because we do tend to install newer and faster and bigger systems every time. And so when you bring in that new terabyte database, or that, you know, terabyte and a half database, or whatever it is, you're always bringing in a new, bigger, faster system. Before that system goes production, use it to test the smaller system. And the really good thing there is what you're testing is you're testing an alternate location restore, which is a bit more complicated than the regular restore. And if you can do the alternate location restore, you can do the regular restore. That's an easy one. And so it's about making restore testing a priority and making it more important than getting that new fancy production system into production, right? Because mm-hmm. that's what happens. It's the new shiny box that comes in, and we want to turn that on, and we want to get the new Umpty Squad application up and running as soon as possible. I get it. I get that that's important. But you know what? If we get that empty squad application up and running and we can't back it up and we can't restore it, people aren't going to be happy. So you've got to get that into the culture so that you're just doing that as a matter of course.
Mm-hmm. And so if somebody has a huge database that they need to test, that's an excellent way to
Absolutely. In my opinion, the only really real way to know that your restore of the large database is going to work is to do, you know, a restore of the large database,
right?
Mm-hmm. You could get some extrapolation by doing some smaller databases and things like that, and you don't have to do that all the time. But, you know, it cracks me up that I'm at companies all the time, and you know, they've got this, you know, I can think of a client that I was at recently, and they've got a 90 terabyte Oracle database. And you ask them, have you ever done a test restore? And the answer is no. Mm. And you're like, well, okay, you know, yeah. I don't know how you know, you know, the database is really important, you know, okay. I'm not sure why you haven't tested the restore of it.
Well, hopefully they've gone out since you met with them and they're testing it right now.
They're not, unfortunately. But we could always hope for the future.
Yeah. Okay, what about documentation?
Documentation is just, you know, I can't overemphasize the importance of it. And it needs to be documented. This isn't notes here. This isn't, you know, little notes to yourself on the things you need to remember in the case of a restore. This is you are gone. You are on vacation, you are in Tahiti, you got hit by a bus, something. You are no longer accessible. You or any of the other backup people that know the ins and outs. And so you've got to document this. And to the point that a person who is technically minded but not familiar with the backup system can do a restore. And then and only then, frankly, can you take a vacation. I can think back to 14 years ago when my first daughter was born, and I was actually in the hospital with my wife sitting there looking at our newborn, and I got a call from the bank on a restore that was important. And I was able to basically slam the phone down because I said, did you read the documentation? And they said, no. And I just said, you know, call me back if you've read it and it didn't work, because I knew that wasn't going to be the case because I knew I had fully documented it. Mm-hmm. But if you don't, you're never going to be able to take a vacation away from the backup system, a real vacation where you unplug yourself, and your company will be at risk for when you ever take a permanent vacation.
But it requires that your customers actually do read the documentation. I mean, it doesn't mean that you won't get those phone calls. It just means that you won't have to leave the hospital, hopefully.
Yeah, agreed. Yeah, you've got to make that documentation. Nobody reads anything, right?
Right.
But it's more along the lines of, in the case where the worst happens and they can't make that phone call, right? Mm-hmm. Whoever it was that made the documentation, made the system, manages the system, that person is completely gone for whatever reason, whether something horrible happened to them or, you know, something happened between the relationship. Maybe you had to lay them off, and they're not going to think and answer the phone when you call.
Mm-hmm.
The documentation has got to be good enough for them to be able to pick it up and figure something out.
Mm-hmm. Okay, gotcha. And what about server virtualization? Does that have some kind of role in testing and verification?
Absolutely. So using either, you know, the free products like VMware Server or the production product, you can do a lot of restore testing that simply wasn't possible for or wasn't, you know, wasn't feasible, right? So you can create a new system. You can even test bare metal restore, right? So the bare metal restore is the restore of, you know, a completely new system that doesn't even have an operating system. You can mimic that with a virtual machine. And then if you've got a bare metal recovery system, then use it and test it on your virtual machine. You can also do all sorts of, you know, you can take one virtual machine that happens to be running the application that you're restoring, you can copy that and create an alternate system that looks exactly like the production system you want to restore, and then you can test with impunity, do a direct restore with impunity. You can do all sorts of interesting things with restore testing if you happen to have virtual servers. I've even seen some CDP products that will actually continually update a restored system into, even though the system that you're backing up may be a physical system, I've seen a CDP system that will actually continually update a virtual image. So in the case of an outage, you'll actually be able to simply start using the virtual server. I mean, there are all sorts of possibilities.
Like,
that,
like in an automatic switchover?
Not so much automatic switchover, but when the system dies, it's dead, right? Mm-hmm. Go over to the virtual machine that's been acting as the backup resource of that system and power that new virtual machine up, and boom, it's already been updated with the most recent backup information from that client.
Mm-hmm.
That's just awesome.
Yeah. I mean, that doesn't mean that you're not going to have lost some data since the, you know, between the time of the last backup.
Right,
and when the system
failed. But it should be minutes or seconds, not hours. And the other phenomenal thing about that is that you don't have to actually do a restore, right?
Mm-hmm.
You simply have the restore is already done. You just have to, you know, start it up.
Mm-hmm. And so obviously you save time in
yep.
that capacity.
And that's not so much a testing question. It is just, you know, I got talking about virtual servers and the things that they could provide, and that's one of them.
Mm-hmm. Are you seeing companies that are actually using server virtualization in their backup process or testing process?
Absolutely. Like I said, it's just, especially when you consider that, you know, many of these companies offer free versions, so you don't need the most high-end ESX server to be a target for restores, right? So you can use an older server, you know, VMware server, which is free, and I know the other products have similar versions that you can use. And all you need is a bunch of storage, and you're not necessarily testing performance here as much as you're just testing the process, right? And so, you know, it's really cheap to make a multi-terabyte VMware server using, you know, terabyte or terabyte and a half SATA drives and a motherboard that supports SATA RAID. I mean, a few hundred dollars later, mm-hmm. and you've got yourself a big old stinking VMware server with several terabytes of disk, right? Mm-hmm. And you can do all sorts of restore testing with that you know, I wouldn't recommend that necessarily for a production system, but for restore testing, you know, knock yourself out. It's mm-hmm. not going to be as fast,
mm-hmm.
right? But, you know, you can, again, you can extrapolate that. It's like, hey, we took us, you know, 2 hours to do the restore with these, you know, cheap SATA drives. Over here, we've got Fibre Channel, and, you know, it should be faster than that.
Hmm. Okay. Well, that's about all we have time for today. Curtis, thank you for joining us.
Anytime.
This concludes part 2 of our Channel Expert podcast series on implementing a modern backup strategy. Be sure to check out part 1 if you haven't already, where Curtis explains the essential goals of a sound backup strategy. This has been Sue Troy for SearchStorageChannel.com.